Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Saying goodbye to Venezuela.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is going toe-to-toe with big oil. He's scheduled to sign oil naturalization deals with foreign companies today. The government is taking a majority stake in four multi-billion dollar projects. But this could cause two of the world's top oil producers to leave the country. From Caracas, Reuters correspondent Brian Ellsworth has more.
Companies currently involved in the projects have to decide if they will stay on as minority partners. Oil giants like U.S.-based Chevron and London-based BP are expected to accept Chavez's terms. But two sources said Monday that ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips will not sign the memorandum. They may have to leave the country if they can't strike a deal by today. Energy analyst Alberto Quiroz says oil producers always want a bigger share of the pie when prices go up. I think it's quite logical that the owners of the oil want a larger share of the business now that oil is at $60 a barrel. But he says Chavez's aggressive negotiating tactics could lead to reduced investment in Venezuela's oil fields. That could result in lower oil production. In Caracas, I'm Brian Ellsworth for Marketplace.
U.S. crude is trading just below $69 a barrel this morning. A choppy day for the stock market yesterday. The Dow finished down 8 points after having been up as much as 129 earlier in the day. The S&P 500 dropped below 1,500 with a loss of 0.3%. The NASDAQ composite was down 0.4%. Overnight, Asian shares were down and the major markets in Europe lower at this hour as well. Shares in the British defense contractor BAE Systems are down about 10% this morning. The Justice Department has begun a probe of Europe's biggest weapons maker. The focus is the company's compliance with anti-corruption laws in connection with its arms business in Saudi Arabia. You know, BAE gets about 60% of its sales from the U.S. It is the largest foreign supplier to the Pentagon. Well, first it was pet food, then toothpaste, lead paint on children's toys. Now tires have been added to the list of Chinese-made products with safety concerns. Federal regulators say about 450,000 tires are defective. On the other side of U.S.-China trade, New York City struck a deal with the Chinese government to promote the Big Apple as a trade destination for Chinese tourists. Our China correspondent Scott Tong joins us now. Scott, what's at work here?
What New York City is trying to cash in on is this statistic. The U.S. Embassy in China estimates that every Chinese tourist who goes overseas for vacation spends $1,000 to $1,500 per day. By one estimate, there are 150 million middle-class Chinese now.
So they have the disposable income, right?
They have the disposable income. They go on vacation. They have iPods. Their kids have Nikes. And they want to go somewhere new. And that number is just going to take off. And New York City and a lot of other destinations are after this dollar.
So New York City had to pursue this on its own because China does not have or has not awarded approved destination status to the U.S. as a whole. Is that right?
That's right. Different countries are considered approved for tourism destinations, and Chinese tour groups can then go to those countries. The United States doesn't have that designation yet. So New York City is joining other jurisdictions like Hawaii and the state of Nevada, going it on its own, trying to get the Chinese tourism dollar.
But it doesn't preclude them from traveling anywhere else, does it?
Right. It does not. No, it's a matter of them putting up posters, getting travel agents in China to say, you want to go to America? You want to go to New York City?
Our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong. Thanks very much.
All right, Doug. Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Sicko is the latest film from Michael Moore. It's about how the U.S. health system leaves millions uninsured and allows insurance companies to profit by selectively denying care. It's scheduled for release this Friday. Commentator Jamie Court thinks this may be the beginning of something.
Films that strike at the heart of intense national frustration can become the tipping point for social and political change. Take The China Syndrome. It showed a nuclear power plant meltdown that resulted from penny-pinching and lax regulatory oversight. 12 days after the film's release, America witnessed the Three Mile Island nuclear accident. Construction of nuclear power plants in the U.S. ground to a halt. Al Gore's 2006 documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, put global warming on the public map. Oil companies all finally admitted this year that they had a hand in climate change. No one knows for sure if the movies were what did it, but they sure didn't hurt. The power of a movie to distill hot-button issues and transcend political gridlock is probably why the head of the HMO lobby started responding to Sicko weeks before its release. Sicko aims to engage us emotionally about living in a nation where patients with insurance are denied coverage when they need it most because of the fine print in their policies, where an uninsured patient who loses two fingers to a saw must choose which one to reattach because of the cost, while a man in Canada with the same problem gets an operation that saves his whole hand for free, where our government leaders tout the high-quality health care detainees get at Guantanamo Bay but won't provide free medical care to volunteer 9/11 relief workers with lung disease. Seeing free public medicine in England, France, and Canada, complete with house calls and cab fare back from the hospital, is enough to make any American laugh and cry. Moore's genius and his goal is to stir these sentiments. But will it be enough to put private insurers out of business in favor of a universal Medicare program? That all depends on Americans. Do Americans really want to fear government more than we want government to fear and serve us?
Jamie Court is president of the Foundation of Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Well, it looks like an agreement could be announced today, paving the way for Rupert Murdoch to take over the Wall Street Journal. Reports say Murdoch and the paper's publisher, Dow Jones, were close to a deal last night on how to protect the journal's editorial independence. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.